It doesn't take a whole lot to really touch someone's life. And that was a simple visit to a house, read the Christmas story. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes we feel like to be generous, we have to be wealthy, and you don't. You can have a generous heart just to give, to see a need, to reach out, just to love somebody. Everybody here in the world has a deficit of love and care, and we can go give it to them. So I want to encourage you to make that part of your Christmas this year. Be generous, be giving. It's not about what we get, it's about what we give. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than receive, isn't it? How many believe that? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 20. We've been going through the book of Luke verse by verse. We're going to cover chapter 20 today. And I'd like you to pray with me before I begin. Father, I ask you to open up our hearts to your word and to your spirit this morning. Lord, teach us. You are the teacher. Lord, there are things that need to be shared today that are even beyond my understanding of how to communicate clearly, but I just ask you to give me sufficient words that would challenge all of us to relate to you in a different way. Lord, I ask you to teach us by your Spirit and show us more of the heart of Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself to us in your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. And we live in a culture that's very anti-authority, just in general. I don't know, it seems like it's been a growing problem that we as Christians sometimes take on an attitude of, well, I'm just going to do things my own way. And we live in a culture that's like, don't tell me what to do. I can make my own decisions. I don't need anything else. And we stand independent of an authority that God wants us to have in our life. We fear authority. I mean, I think there are times when probably all of us at some point have experienced some abuse of authority. Or we look at our government and we don't agree with maybe a decision they've made or a direction they're going. And so for whatever reason, we just kind of carte blanche, throw off the whole idea of authority. Or maybe you had a bad relationship in a marriage and you say, well, you know what? I don't really get this whole authority submission. I'm just going to throw it off. And so we end up walking around in the world with a rebellion. I mean, sometimes it can be a quiet rebellion. It doesn't have to be that we're out in the street with a sign, but in our hearts we've pushed him back. And we say, I don't need this authority in my life. And what I want to challenge you with today is that we do need authority in our life. And there is an authority in the Lord Jesus Christ that whether we acknowledge it or not is real. And those of us who will acknowledge it and respond to it, there's great blessing. And for those of us who resist it and reject it, the blessing isn't there. So I'm in Luke 20, verse 1. One day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came up. What a great crowd. How many of you know these were not the fans of Jesus Christ? These are the people who want him killed. As it was coming closer and closer to the end of Jesus' life, these chief priests and scribes and elders were all coming to listen to him, but they were looking for ways to catch him in his words. They were looking for something that he would say that would give them the right or the ability to have him prosecuted and executed ultimately. This is actually happening just a few days before Jesus Christ is to be crucified. This story here. And so he's up there teaching in the temple, and the chief priests, the scribes, the elders came up, and they said to him, tell us, by what authority you do these things? Or who is it that gave you this authority? Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about, if you remember the chapter before this, Jesus walked into the temple and he started throwing the tables over. Remember that? He came in there and he saw the people selling all the sacrifices, selling the animals for the sacrifices, and the zeal of God's house began to eat him up. And he came through and he quoted the scripture, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves." And he starts throwing their money tables over. And he did this single-handedly. Jesus didn't have an army of people behind him standing there to support him in his decision to throw the tables over, did he? He acted on his own what? His own authority. You know, he didn't go to the chief priests or the elders or the scribes to get a permission slip. "Can I please have permission to walk into the temple court and throw these tables over?" No, he stepped out on his own authority. And so these guys are asking, who gave you this authority? In other words, who do you think you are? Where do you get this authority from that you can just walk in here like you did and start throwing things around? That's the question. And I praise God. I don't know about you, but I praise God that Jesus doesn't need permission to do anything. It is an authority that is inherent within him as God. He can do whatever he wants to do in this world. He has an authority that's been given to him. The problem is sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't. And these people obviously did not recognize his authority. So tell us, by what authority you do these things? Who gave you this authority? And so he answered them. I'm going to also ask you a question and tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? In other words, who gave John authority? Where did John's authority to baptize come from? Did it come from heaven, or was it just something from the heart of man? Did he just decide to do something on his own? Tell me. And so there I see that Jesus actually recognizes these two sources of authority. One is, there is an authority from heaven. There is an authority that comes from heaven that each of us must learn to recognize and to acknowledge and respond to. But there's also an authority from man. And for the most part, that authority comes out of our own heart. We choose to sit on the throne of our own life. We choose to do things our way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end are the ways of death. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Judges. Every man did what? He did what was right in his own eyes. See, they kind of threw off this idea of authority and said, we're just going to do things the way we want to do them. Doesn't that sound a lot like us today? We really don't need anybody telling us what to do. You know, we're adult human beings. I went to college. I have these degrees. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know the direction of my life. I'm a man. I'm a self-made man. I don't need anybody else over me, directing me, giving me understanding, giving me commands for my life. And so, unbeknownst to us, sometimes we walk in this rebellious heart, throwing off authority. Where did John's authority come from? Jesus said, was it from heaven or was it from man? And these guys began to have a discussion in verse 5, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say it was from man, all the people are going to stone us because they believe he was a prophet. And so they answered and said, we don't know where it came from. That's the safe answer, isn't it? We don't really have an idea. No comment. See, they were taking the safe place because to acknowledge that this was from God, if you acknowledge an authority as from God, hopefully it will change your life. You will decide if there's an authority that truly is from heaven, that it means I have to come to grips with it. If John truly was ordained from heaven, if his authority came from heaven, then I need to listen to him. And John was calling the people to repentance, wasn't he? And the people in those areas who began to see that this was an authority that came from God, that God was directing John's ministry, God was directing this baptism, God was the one who was calling them to repent, they responded. They heard and they said, yes, Lord, we'll be baptized. But there were others who rejected it, even if they did think that maybe God was doing this, for whatever reason, they said, I have no part in this situation. That was these Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus said, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is, how do we acknowledge the authority from heaven? I think every one of us, if we're born again, we would acknowledge there is an authority from heaven. That there is a God who speaks, who cares about what's going on in our lives, who's given direction, who's given his word, and he is the ultimate authority. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is no higher authority than Jesus Christ. And if we can acknowledge that there is an authority from heaven and it comes from Jesus Christ, then maybe we can begin to yield our lives to that authority. Here's a great example. Remember the Apostle Paul? This is found, I believe, in Acts, the 9th chapter, where Paul the Apostle was going over to Damascus to throw the Christians in prison. You know what it says there in the Bible? It says he had been given authority from the chief priest to go. It was authority from man. And they said, hey, Paul, here, take this authority. Here's a writing, go. You have our permission. You have the right to go into this town now and take anybody who's following the ways of Jesus and have them thrown into prison. And so Paul was now riding off under the authority of man. But on the way, as he's riding on his horse, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate authority, the authority from heaven, came and stood in front of his horse, and his horse freaked out, and his horse jumps in the air, and Paul falls off onto the ground, and he sees Jesus, the one that he's persecuting, the one that he's against. And he asks these two questions, and these are the two most important questions every one of us can ask in our life. And I believe they really constitute what it means to be saved. His first question is, who are you, Lord? Paul somehow recognized that this was no ordinary person here. I don't know what it was about him, what he saw in Jesus, but immediately there was something in his heart that said, this is something important. Who are you, Lord? And he called him Lord. And he said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you're persecuting. And that all of a sudden now, Paul has a decision. Here is the authority from heaven, or I have in my back pocket the authority from the priest. Who am I going to walk with? Where am I going to derive my authority? I have the authority right now to get up on my horse. I've met this man, Jesus Christ. I've met him, the Lord of all, on the road to Damascus. And I also have this authority right here in my back pocket, if he had a back pocket. How many of you are glad that Paul the Apostle chose the authority from heaven on that day? You know, we have so much of the New Testament today. We have a great man of God, a storied life of the Apostle Paul, because on that day, when he was faced with the authority from heaven, he chose. And his next question was, what would you have me do, Lord? See, it's who are you, Lord? And if he is your Lord, what would you have me do? And that's the whole issue of walking with Christ. That is really the whole issue of acknowledging the authority from heaven. Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? We're going to look at the rest of this chapter, and I'm going to talk to you about four ways out of this chapter that we can begin to acknowledge or come to terms with Christ's authority in our lives. Verse 9, he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. This is the parable. The vineyard is the children of Israel. It says that in Isaiah chapter 5. The Lord planted a vineyard, and the vineyard is Israel. Those people there that were listening to his teaching, they are this vineyard. A man planted a vineyard. The man is God. He let it out to tenants. These are the spiritual leaders of their day. These are the ones who were supposed to raise up the vineyard and bring forth the fruits of the vineyard and see the fruit of the kingdom brought forth out of the vineyard. But this man went away for a long while, and it says, when the time came, he sent servants to the tenants. These represent the prophets, those who would come to Israel throughout history and look for the fruit of the kingdom, look for the fruit of the vineyard. It was God coming back and saying, hey, I own this vineyard. It's mine. I'm looking for the fruit of this vineyard. And the prophets would come, and they would speak in the name of the Lord. They would speak with God's authority, and they would call them to repent, and they would call them to follow after the ways of the Lord. And sometimes the people responded, but many times they didn't. They didn't acknowledge the authority from heaven. And the time came, he sent servants to the tenants so that they would give him some fruit of the vineyard, but the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And that happened to some of the prophets. He sent another servant. They also beat him and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. And then the owner of the vineyard said, and he is the owner, by the way, amen? How many of you know if you own something, you have authority over it? If you create something, how many of you have ever created anything? You know that because you create it, it's yours. You're the owner of it. God's created the entire universe. He created all of us. He is the owner. And so the owner said, what shall I do? I know, I'm going to send my beloved son. You know who that is? Jesus. That's the one who's now talking to them. He's, I'm going to send my beloved son. Perhaps, they will respect him. Perhaps they will acknowledge the authority from heaven. But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him. And now Jesus is actually predicting what's going to happen to him in just a few days. This is the heir. Let's kill him so the inheritance may be ours. And they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants, which he did. Because Israel rejected the Lord, he did destroy that city. And he gave the vineyard over to others. And those who would receive the kingdom, those who would bring forth the fruits of the kingdom, the kingdom went over into the Gentile world, and now the fruits are being brought forth, but he's still looking for fruit. And when they heard this, they said, surely not. But he looked directly at them and said, well, what then is this that is written? And here's the first point I want to bring out today. How do we come to grips with the authority of Christ in my life? He said, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It is the most important stone in the entire building. It is the chief cornerstone. This is the one they rejected. This is the Son of God. This is the heir. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he came unto his own received him not. And he who was rejected became the most important stone. And it goes on to say, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Does that sound like fun to you? It doesn't sound like fun, and that's why we run away from it. But there's only one other option. And it says it next. If it falls on anyone, it will crush him. And this word crush is a word that means grinding to powder so it will blow away in the wind. Every human being, everybody sitting in this room has to somehow come to grips with this stone, this cornerstone. You either fall on it out of your own volition, and you, it's almost like, but if I fall on it, I'll be broken. I'm afraid to fall on it. I'm afraid to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm afraid to give it up. I'm afraid he might send me to Africa. I'm afraid he might ask of me something I'm not willing to do. I'm afraid he said he's going to say to me, take up my cross and follow me. I'm afraid he's going to say, go and sell all your goods and give to the poor. I'm afraid of what he might do. And so I'm going to just stand here and not fall. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall on that rock. I don't want to be broken. And so the first thing I want to encourage you with is trust him. See, this idea of falling on a stone to me is like, I can trust Jesus. I can trust him that if I will just fall on the stone, and even if it breaks my life, how many of you know our lives need to be broken? I mean, to be broken is a beautiful place to be. Sometimes we stand so strong in our pride. We stand so strong in our rebellion. We stand so strong in our independence of God. We stand so strong in our self-reliance. And there's a time in every one of our lives where we need to be broken. We need to be humbled before this Almighty God. Instead of standing there like these Pharisees saying, who gave you this authority? We need to be like the apostle that says, who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? And it takes a falling on a stone to be broken. And if we stand and resist and reject, ultimately, one day, that stone is going to come and crush us and grind us to powder. And that would be the judgment. One day, the Bible says, every knee will bow, every tongue, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wouldn't it be great to do that willingly? Wouldn't it be great to be those who are there and saying, Lord, and I thank you so much that you called me, that I fell on that stone, and I acknowledge you as Lord of all. And I'm here praising you for that, rather than standing in that same group, fearful of what may happen because you've heard about the judgment of God. So every human being has to face this stone. And my first point is, if you're going to come to grips with the authority of God, you got to trust him. How many know there are things in the Bible that are hard for us to believe? Like, for example, love your enemy. Is that hard to believe? But trust him. Trust him in this. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Is that hard to believe? Trust him in this. Children, honor your parents. Trust him in this. Give honor to the governments of our land. This is the Lord. Authority is mentioned throughout the scripture. Obey your leaders in the church. This is of the Lord. God has called us to be a people who understand authority, and we live in a culture that pushes back against it. We've got to be those who say, I'm willing to fall on this rock. I trust you, Lord, that as I yield to your ultimate authority, all these other things will come into line the way you want them to. The next point, verse 21, they ask him, Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly, and so you show no partiality, but you truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness. See, they were trying to catch him. And he said to them, show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have? And they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but and to God things that are God's. The second thing I want you to do, if you're going to come under the authority of Jesus Christ, is to honor him. You know, we can live our lives and just be good citizens. I just want to be a good citizen. I want to render to Caesar what's Caesar's. I'm going to do what they ask me. I'm just going to be a model person out here. In my job, in my community, in my family, in the city, I just want to render to Caesar what's Caesar's, and that's fine. But remember, we must render to God what is God's. There are things that Caesar can never touch in your life. The worship of God, the repentance of sin, the surrender to him. Caesar can't deal with those issues of the heart. And while we are called to pay our taxes, and to give the due honor to the governments that are over us in this land. So many of us can do that at the expense of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times if you are a person who will honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give honor to him the way you do to Caesar, there may be a day that comes when you say, I can't follow the law of the land. There was a day in the early church where that Jesus had told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. And one day, these same priests and scribes and Pharisees called the apostles into the council and said, "We don't want you preaching in this name anymore." Well, now you got a choice, don't you? Am I going to follow the authority that's from above, or am I going to follow the authority of man? In this case, and it wasn't an act of rebellion, it was an act of surrender to the ultimate authority. They said, whether we should obey you or God, you decide. We can't help but do what the Lord's told us to do. And these men honored the authority from above, always, even at the expense of their own lives. As they continued to go and preach the gospel, continued to share the things of Jesus Christ, some of them, many of them, gave their lives. But they chose the authority from heaven as their guide. How about us? How about us? So let's honor him. We trust him. We honor him. We render to God the things that are God's. Number three, verse 27, they came to the Sadducees who deny there is a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. They deny there's a resurrection. And they asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. Wouldn't that be an amazing story? I mean, if that was in real life. It's like if you were the sixth or seventh brother, you'd start be thinking, hey, wait a minute. I'm not sure I want to marry this lady. My brothers haven't had a whole lot of luck over here. But here they were, seven brothers. They all died. They left no children. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? And they didn't even believe in a resurrection. Whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife. Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and they're given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. No marriage in heaven, for they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But listen to this now. Here's my point. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush. He calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What I like about that is Jesus believed the Bible. Jesus believed in the Bible. Jesus referred to a passage about the bush. Isn't that awesome? He said, I want to tell you, remember the passage about the bush? He's saying God's word is authoritative. Another parallel version of this, I believe it was Matthew, maybe Mark, I can't remember. It said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. See, these men didn't believe in the resurrection. And because of that, there were parts of the scripture that they basically had to write off. And Jesus is saying, listen, you are erring because you really don't know the scripture. You don't believe in a resurrection and you're concocting this story trying to trap me. But the fact is, the Bible is authoritative. God's word is true, and there is a resurrection. Because when he stood in the bush, in the burning bush, and he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's saying God is not the God of the dead. If Abraham was dead and there is no life afterwards, why would he even say, I'm the God of these guys? I am the God of the living. And Jesus used that to say that there is a resurrection. So the third thing I want you to understand, if you're going to come under the authority of Jesus Christ, you got to believe the Bible. You just got to believe the Word of God. How often is it that we hear, even in the Christian world, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but our culture's changing. How is it that we can be so strong about certain things, about abortion, about homosexuality, about marriage, about the raising of children? How can we be so sure about these things? Because the authority doesn't come from man. The authority comes from God. And so God says these things, and all we can do is say, Lord, it's in your word. This is where we stand. And you're seeing what's happening in our culture more and more as the Christian world is being pushed into this corner of being intolerant of being unwise, about being, what's the word I want? Narrow-minded. But folks, listen, don't allow the culture to push you out of that. We have got to stand and say, I'm under the authority of the Lord. And we have the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change with the culture. Cultures will change because we drift. We move. We're pushed further and further into darkness. If you read the book of Romans, the first chapter, you see there is an evolution of culture that goes down and down and down. The more that we reject God, the more that we push Him away. They knew Him, but they wouldn't acknowledge Him as God, and they became darker, and they became darker. And so cultures will shift. And it's amazing to me to be alive at this day when we've seen our culture shift so dramatically, so quickly. And we see even churches, though, changing positions on things that are from God's authority, things that are from the Scripture. We are seeing churches saying, well, yeah, but here we are, we're living in this day, let's be realistic, this is how we must now treat the Word of God. And we can't do that. And so I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, listen, you know, as this time goes on, this will become more and more an issue. It will become an issue deeper and deeper in our society. For our children, let's give them the foundation of God's Word. Let's teach them that the Word of God is true. And let's help them to learn it and to not just know it, but to yield to it. That we wouldn't say, well, yeah, I know the Bible says wives should submit to your husband, but hey, I'm a different kind of a woman. Well, you shouldn't be a different kind of a woman. You should say, Lord, help me to be under the authority of Jesus Christ in this. And you men, be men of God who love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, I'm kind of a different kind of a man. Well, then change. Say, Lord, change me. I want to be the kind of person you want me to be. You see what I'm saying? It all springs from, am I accepting the authority from heaven? And we can have excuses about all kinds of things about why we don't want to walk in it. It's too hard. It's too radical. It's too, you know, we live in a different age or whatever. You can call up your excuses. But at the end of the day, we have an authority in God's Word that is unchanging. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass from it. Isn't that amazing to think about that? A little thing like that. He says, it's not going to pass away. My Word is true. There's a great scripture in Psalm 119 that says, this is verse 127, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, even above fine gold. Therefore, listen to this, therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Do we? I consider your precepts concerning all things to be right. The Word of God is right. Now, yeah, we have sometimes, we try to understand it, we grow in it, we learn it, but at the end of the day, the Word of God is right. That's where I stand, and I hope you do. Lord, the Word of God is right. I know when my wife and I have an argument, which is rare, we have an argument. I remember when we first were married, you know, we had arguments about different things, and she would say, well, the Bible says, and I, at the end, when she said that, you know what, the argument was over. Because I'm like, well, you're right about that. Because I don't want to stand against that. I don't want to stand against the Word of God. She is right. Because God's Word is right. And we have to have a humble heart that acknowledges the Scripture and rejects this drifting of culture that tries to push us into a mold that says we're rejecting the authority from heaven. And I don't mean we stand there with a stinking attitude. Right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about just people who humbly acknowledge that there is an authority from heaven. This is where I stand. I have nowhere else to go. Where else can we go? Only He has the words of eternal life. And the fourth thing in verse 41, He said to them, how can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son? In the hearing of all the people, he said to the disciples, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the feast. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. I love this scripture because it's talking about David, the king of Israel. David was probably the greatest king of Israel. It was called Israel's golden age. David was just such a powerful man of God. He was a worshiper of God. He was a mighty warrior. He slew Goliath. I mean, David was a man after God's heart. After all the things that were in his life, the Lord summed it up, and he said, David is a man after my heart. Wouldn't you love to have that as a testimony? Lord, what do you think of me? Silence. No, David, David, you are a man after God's own heart. What a testimony that at the end of your life, after all the failures, after all the blessings, all the struggles, all the wars, all the things that he went through, to at the end say, David is a man after my own heart. I want that so badly. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I want for my life. But David, who was the king, who could, just like these Pharisees, choose the greatest seats, choose the high places, choose to have people come and bow down to him, he said, no, I'm going to serve the Lord. He said to my Lord, David called him Lord. David, the king, who could have been full of pride, who could have exalted himself, who could have been lifted up, was humble enough to know that there is an authority from heaven that he must yield to. When the prophet came to him and confronted him about his sin with Bathsheba, what did he say? Yes, Lord, you're right. I have done this. Against you have I sinned. He acknowledged this authority from heaven. And David, who was a very powerful man, who could have used his power to exalt himself, humbled himself before God. He said, you are my Lord. David calls him Lord. Will you call him Lord? What does that mean? Is that just a word that I say? Jesus said this, why do you call me Lord if you won't do what I say? Isn't that what he said? Why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? And so really, for David to call him Lord, it's really a surrender and saying, I want to do what you want me to do. I really want to acknowledge the authority from heaven. So I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to close in prayer. I want you to be thinking about your own life today. Do you acknowledge the heavenly authority? You may have known about it. You may have heard about it. But we need to acknowledge it. And not just to say that it's there, but is it the thing that's determining my life? See, if these Pharisees had acknowledged the authority from heaven in terms of John's baptism, you know what they would have done? They would have gotten baptized. And we talked about the Apostle Paul, who did acknowledge the authority from heaven, and look how his life changed. It really comes down to that. I want to pray for us, and I just ask you to just kind of search your own heart about your attitudes to his authority. I don't know that there's anybody here who's belligerent toward the Lord. I mean, I think we're here because we want to serve him, we want to follow after him. But like I say, in subtle ways, we can begin to walk in rebellion. We can begin to take on the culture of our day and begin to question, well, am I being too radical? Am I being too unchanging in these things? Shouldn't I be a little bit more like this or that? Let's just really surrender to the authority of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, humble me and let me fall on that stone and let me honor you. Let me consider your word as authoritative and let me stand there unashamed, not with an attitude, but with a humble heart. You are the Lord from heaven. And I acknowledge your authority. Father, I pray for us all. I thank you so much that Jesus came. I thank you, Lord, that you have all authority in heaven and on earth. And Lord, you have authority in our lives, whether we acknowledge it or not. But Father, I pray that with everybody who can hear my voice right now, Lord God, you enable us to be a humble people. You give us that heart of trust that says, I'm willing to fall on that stone and be broken, knowing that that breaking is what you use to build us up. Lord, give us the heart that says, I want to honor you. I don't want to be just a good citizen. I want to be one who honors you and gives you what is due to you, Lord. Lord, help us to always regard your word as it is in truth, the word of God, that it may change our lives as we surrender to that. And Lord, like King David, help us to say you are Lord, not just verbiage, but with the intent behind it, which says, I want to do what you want me to do. Father, we do acknowledge the authority from heaven. Let it change our lives. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you have a need for prayer, a prayer request at all, please feel free to come up. We'd be glad to pray with you and encourage you. Otherwise, take some time to share your love, meet somebody you don't know, and tell them you love them in Jesus' name.